In this video, I'm going to show you 4 different ways to generate passive income in Singapore. For each one, I will tell you how easy or how hard it is to get started and how much you can realistically make. Together, these are generating for me anywhere between $500 to $2,000 a week. Some are easy to do, others may take longer, and some may even involve risk. So don't expect to hit this level of income straight away. But given enough time and consistency, you'll be able to grow them into something meaningful. So let's kick things off with the first income source, the good old savings account. This is definitely the easiest one on the list because as long as you have money, you can do it. Right now, the savings account rates in Singapore range anywhere between 1% to over 4% a year. And at the top end is the Standard Chartered Bonus Saver, which is currently paying you up to 4.55% per annum if you can meet their salary, spend, and investment criteria. However, starting from May 1st, they are going to cut that down to 3.35%, which kind of sucks. But even so, a 3.35% interest is still one of the better rates out there as compared to what the other banks are offering. Though the invest condition might be a little tricky, because to qualify, you need to invest at least $30,000 into a unit trust or equities for a period of 6 months. And unlike the cash in your savings accounts, you are taking on investment risk just to unlock your savings rate, which not everyone may be comfortable with. So if you would rather skip the investment criteria, OCBC 360 and UOB One are the two other main options, where they are paying around 1+% interest when you hit their respective conditions. Now, if you don't want to deal with any of that, there's another option that gets you a comparable return without having to fulfill any criteria, and that is money market funds. A money market fund is a type of unit trust that invests your money into short-term, low-risk instruments, things like Singapore government treasury bills, short-term bonds, and bank deposits. So, its goal is simple, to preserve your capital while growing it. At the moment, SGD money market funds are yielding around 1.3% per annum. There's no conditions to be met. So once you park your money in there, it will start generating returns for you. You can find these money market funds in most brokers. For example, on Longbridge, if you head over to the market, fund, and cash plus, you'll see the SGD and USD money market funds that you can invest in. Additionally, if you enable the cash plus mode, your idle cash will get automatically swept into the money market fund. So any uninvested cash sitting in your accounts will earn a return in the background, right up until the moment you decide to deploy it into a trade. However, there's one caveat worth knowing. Money market funds are not bank deposits, yeah. They are unit trusts, which means your capital is not guaranteed the way cash in a bank is. Though, in practice, money market funds are very low-risk products and have a strong safety record. But it's important that you understand this before you put your money in. Speaking of money market funds, right now, Longbridge is running an amazing campaign for new users where you can get a 5% interest booster for an entire year on $2,000 placed in the Cash Plus Money Market Fund. On top of that, if you meet their holding and trading requirements, you can earn rewards in the form of Nvidia shares worth up to $1,160. One of the main reasons I like Longbridge is their zero commission fees and platform fee coupons for the Singapore, Hong Kong, and US stock markets. And now, they have also added zero commission for US options. This really helps to keep long-term costs down, which is super important, especially when you are just starting out. So if you are interested to sign up, you can check out the details via my exclusive link in the description below. Moving on, the next stream of passive income is CPF. So right now, if you are able to hit the basic retirement sum of $106,500 by the time you turn 65, you could be looking at roughly $950 per month for your entire life. And if you hit the full retirement sum, that goes up to about $1,700 per month. And if you go all the way to the enhanced retirement sum, you will get about $3,300 per month for as long as you live. But I know what some of you are thinking.
Huh, CPF? That money is locked up until I become U-Abet or U-Amale. How is that passive income?
Yes, it is locked up. But that's the whole point, because the locked up is what lets CPF offer you a guaranteed 4 to 5% interest per year on your special account. And given enough time, that money can compound into a meaningful sum. However, because your CPF money feels like just a number on the screen where you can't touch, most people will just ignore it. And by the time they realize they haven't saved enough in their CPF, they are already in their 50s with limited years left to compound. So how can you actually make full use of your CPF? The simplest thing to do is just to top up $8,000 a year into your CPF SA or MA. if you can do that consistently, you will eventually hit the full retirement sum. Studies have found that the full retirement sum payout is roughly enough to cover the basic living expenses in Singapore. So, things like your food, transport, and utilities. And on top of the 4% interest, that $8,000 top up can also help to reduce your taxable income. So, if you are in the 11.5% bracket, by topping up $8,000 into CPF, you will save about $920 in taxes. Or if you are in the 22% bracket, you will save $1,760. This means your effective return is actually even higher than the 4% once you factor your savings in. The third income stream is investing. Depending on what you invest in, you could be looking at anywhere between 1% to 7% per year in dividends. It takes more work upfront to understand what you are buying, but once you set it up, it mostly runs by itself. Now, this is also where a lot of people get it wrong. When people hear dividends, they picture this free money dropping into their account. But here's what you need to understand. When a company pays out a dividend, the share price drops by roughly the same amount on the ex-dividend date. What it means is that when you receive dividends, you are not gaining any new wealth. Instead, you are just converting part of your investments into cash. So mathematically speaking, there's no difference between receiving $10 in dividend or selling $10 off your share. But of course, dividends can still make sense to some people. For example, if you plan to hold forever and don't want to sell, dividends will give you that income without triggering that feeling of I'm losing my holdings. And for long-term holders, dividends can actually be the cleaner way to get consistent income. One of the nice things about investing in Singapore is that there's no tax on dividends from SGX listed companies. You get to keep everything you receive. And Singapore actually has a pretty strong base of mature dividend-paying companies to pick from. For example, Singapore banks like DBS, OCBC and UOB have paid out dividends consistently for decades. Then you also have REITs or Real Estate Investment Trusts, which lets you invest in income-producing properties like malls, offices and logistic parks without having to actually buy the property itself. And because REITs are legally required to distribute at least 90% of their income, their yields tend to run higher as compared to regular stocks. Not just that, Singapore REITs are well known for delivering some of the highest distribution yields in the world, while also sitting in a relatively low volatility range as compared to most of the equity markets. That means you are getting paid well without taking on the kind of price swings you will see in regular stocks. And for income investors, that is a combination that is hard to find. That said, not all dividend stocks are created equal. Some companies that have a high yield can actually turn out to be a lousy company. That's why you need to do your homework by checking whether the company is actually fundamentally good and can they actually sustain the payout. But if you don't want to spend time doing all that research, a much simpler way to invest is through an ETF. An ETF is basically a basket of stocks built around an index or a theme. So when you buy one ETF, you are instantly diversified across hundreds or even thousands of companies. And because of that, you don't need to worry about picking the right company because you won't buy the wrong stocks if you buy all the stocks. Take the STI ETF for example. It tracks the 30 largest companies listed in Singapore with names like DBS, OCBC and Singtel and pays out a distribution yield of around 3.5% as of early 2026. Or if you want REIT exposure across the region, the Amoa Straits Trading Asia X Japan REIT ETF, ticker CFA, gives you access to REITs across Singapore, Australia, Hong Kong, and the rest of Asia, excluding Japan. Its forward yield is around 5.2%. And here's something worth knowing. If you're already investing in broad-based ETFs and you want to receive dividend income, you can often just switch to the dividend-paying version of the exact same index. For example, instead of the S&P 500 ETFs CSPX or SPYL, which doesn't pay you any dividends, you could go for REUSD, which pays out around 1% dividend a year. Same thing with the All World Index. Instead of REWRA, which invests everything, REWRD pays you around 1.4% in dividends. The fourth income stream is covered calls. This is the most complex strategy on this list. But a covered call is essentially a sell order, except that you get paid or not whether the sale actually happens. Here's how it works. If you own at least 100 shares of a stock, you can sell a covered call to give someone else the right to buy those shares from you at a fixed price. In exchange, they pay you a premium upfront. He's speaking the language of the gods. Okay, let me show you an example. Let's say you sell a covered call at a strike price of $115. By doing so, you receive $3 in premiums. If the stock stays below $115 at expiry, that option would expire worthless, and you get to keep the premium and your 100 shares. However, if the stock rises above the $115 strike price, you would be forced to sell your 100 shares at $115. In that scenario, you still get to keep the premium, but you miss out on any gains above the strike. Now, I could go much deeper into the mechanics, but here's a quick and easy way to help you out. If you're already using Longbridge, their built-in AI can help you decide whether the timing is right to sell a covered call or not. For example, you could tell it that you want to sell a covered call on a stock that you already own. Then you can ask it what are the upcoming events you need to look out for, how volatile the stock currently is, what are the technicals to take note of, what are some suggestions depending on my risk appetite, and a short verdict on whether now is a good time to sell. And think, it pulls out all the upcoming events, the IV environment, the technicals, and lays out a 3-strike scenario with a 1-line verdict at the end. And from there, you can make the call whether you want to sell the call or not. So there you have it. These are the 4 passive income streams, ranked from the easiest to the hardest. Which one are you starting with? Drop it in the comments down below. If you want to go deeper on the various option strategies, I've done a full deep dive here. And if you have found this useful, do hit the like and subscribe. I post new videos every week on personal finance and investing in Singapore. And I will see you in the next one.